Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mint with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I've got the NFL app on right now because our TV may or may not be broken. We're not 100% sure on it. We're going to figure it out. I don't know. But I'm watching Bills Chiefs from last year, remembering the Bills were 6-6 at that point, and remembering how this game ends.
It was a dark time. I remember every day.
It was not a good time.
Every day going in the playoff, New York Times playoff machine, and just being like, okay. What if this happens? What if that happens? What's the best and worst case scenarios for the next week?
In reality, all we needed was Miami to just completely fall apart.
As they do. Hey,
the Bills did their job.
They almost fell apart last
almost
night.
Almost fell apart last night. That game was awful.
Did you see that there was like, I mean, I was watching the condensed highlights, so I don't know if it was play after play after play, but I think there was like four plays in a row where it was just, every play was a turnover.
Yeah. It felt like it.
Pretty much?
It was pretty much. It was
because there was an interception.
To a fumble, to then another fumble.
And then another interception.
I think so.
It's just, that's wild. And the Rams don't even score a touchdown.
But at that point, I did turn the game off. I was like, this is not worth it for me. This is just not it.
Yeah. Like I said, I watched the condensed version, so I didn't even see like most of the game. I saw like the highlights, I guess, if you want to call it that.
And those would be considered low lights.
Right. I mean, except for there was one where Jonnu Smith catches a ball over the middle and just trucks a dude.
Yeah.
Like, and that actually, no, it was right before the Tyreek Hill touchdown. Mm-hmm. He gets down to like the 1 yard line and on his way, he trucks two or three guys and just, I'm not a Dolphins fan, but I'm kind of sad that he didn't get in there. Like you deserve to score that touchdown.
Yes.
Like
that's
crazy. And then for them to not give it to him on the next play, like
it's
come
tough.
On. He deserves that.
Hate to see it.
Well, you don't.
But overall, not a good game. Was not really a big fan of that game. But yeah, so I've got last year's Chiefs and Bills regular season matchup on the TV. I think Jeremy and Joe were also listening to it as well. And a lot of that is coming to sort of one of the topics I want to take from today, because I really, really liked Joe and Jeremy's conversation from this morning to the poll of, is this year's team the best team under McDermott and Allen? Because they, you know, record-wise, have the best start to the year at 8-2. Just spoiler alert, flat out for me, I said no. It's either 2020 for me. Me and Josh were talking here in the break, too. 2022 probably has a good shout. For me, though, I always just kind of remember the end of that season and just how much it felt like they were running out of gas. And then the Cincinnati incident with DeMar Hamlin and then just kind of how that season ended really left a bad taste in my mouth overall. 2020, though, for me was just it felt like they were having fun. It felt like they were just toying with teams a lot of the time. They had made their ascension in 19, and then in 20, it was just, all right, here we go. Like, they're great. They're really good. And it was sort of also this weird feeling around the team because you didn't get the normal off season with them due to COVID. You kind of only got glimpses at them. You didn't really know what Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs would look like together. You knew what Cole Beasley was because of 2019, but you didn't totally know what that was going to be. And then just all of a sudden, you know, that first Jets game, Allen's first 300-yard game, another 300-yard game, a 400-yard game. I mean, just it felt like, again, like they were toying with teams. And it was so, so much fun to watch. They were so, so good. And that was maybe the first time in my life as a Bills fan that it felt like, oh, so this is what all the 90s fans were talking about. Because up to that point, you know, you had 2019, but they were clearly limited on offense. I remember a lot of Bills fans wanting a shot at the Chiefs at that year if they had beaten Houston. I was like, that's like the last thing I want. I don't think they're that good at all. I think they're getting there, but And at that time, too, the Chiefs were in the middle of their first juggernaut run and such. So there was a little bit of a weird feeling there. But 2020 was the first time I thought, oh, they're good, good. And then it's really kind of continued from there, where now I just have like a almost blind trust in this team to make the playoffs every year, to win at least a playoff game every year. I mean, they've been pretty darn good at that outside of 2019 and 2017 to win at least a playoff game. They've been great. They've been absolutely unbelievable. But they have not gotten over the hump. And that's sort of where, you know, at least the topic of discussion for me today. Josh is handling stuff on the board on the other side of here. We're kind of short-manned here. So Josh will be coming in and out. But it's really going to be time for all of us to kind of talk about this game coming up. Because the Colts, they beat the Colts, what have you. It is what it is. I think most of us thought that. We're all waiting for Kansas City. And there are some injury notes. Keon Coleman has already been ruled out with a wrist injury. We'll see about Amari Cooper. We'll see about Dalton Kincaid. They are going to come into this short man. But in terms of this matchup alone, really the question of the day for me, and we've already got some tweets. We'll get to those here in just a second. But has this regular season matchup with the Chiefs lost all of its luster, or is it still the quote-unquote game of the year contender for you? And the reason I ask that is because for the last few years, this has been a yearly game, whether it be in Arrowhead or now it's regularly getting to Orchard Park as well. It was always billed as like, that's the game. That's the litmus test until the playoffs. If you beat the Chiefs, you feel like it feels like the season is somewhat of a success until the playoffs. And that's been a big thing for me too. They beat them in the regular season. The game I have on, last year's game when they were 6-6, they beat the Chiefs. They will then ultimately lose to them in the playoffs, like many other years prior. The only game I can think of them losing to them in the regular season, I think was 2020 when that happened.
It was the COVID season.
Yeah,
and there was no fans. It was in Buffalo. So technically, last year was the first time Mahomes was here in Buffalo with fans. Remember that? That was the conversation. But when you look at this from a league perspective, if you're not a Bills or Chiefs fan, this is still the game of the year.
100%.
Because it's two incredible teams. Yeah. There's a lot on the line. And when you're looking at it from our perspective, too, there's a lot on the line. It's up for the one seed. But at the same time, I mean, we were talking about this before we went on the air. You can't. Like, you can get excited about this game. I'm not saying, like, I'm excited about it. It's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be high-powered offenses going against each other, against two, like, both teams have great defenses.
I don't even know if it's high-powered offenses for either of them.
That's fair.
I think they're both so wounded, they're like, let's just get through this.
On paper, they're high-powered offenses, but my point is you get all the appeal if you're an out-of-town fan, but it also still means a lot for the Bills. Mm-hmm. In terms of the one seed.
Well, yeah. That's the only thing I'm really, truly excited for
is, hey, if you win this, that really opens up the door for someone else, even if it's not you, for someone else to get the one seed.
Well, and that's really a big part for me, too, is the one seed is still live. It would have been much more live if Denver could not succumb to the Chiefs' devilry and witchcraft. But they don't, and now they're still undefeated. But yeah, I mean, if Denver had beaten them and you were looking at hey, both teams could be 9-2 if you win this game and you now got the tiebreaker over them, and then Baltimore and Houston have both lost recently, so you're ahead of them just on record alone. Yeah, but you still look at the Chiefs' schedule and you go, I just don't know where the losses are coming. Even with these one-score games, even how poorly they play, it seems like they just figure out a way to get it done. Except really against Buffalo in the regular season. Buffalo has had their number in the regular season for years now, and it's been in Arrowhead to the point where I would argue most Bills fans no longer fear even going on the road there. Maybe argue some prefer it because the Bills the last 2 years have lost at home in the playoffs. I'm one of those. Like, I don't care about going on the road. For me, it's much more of I want the bye rather than like home field advantage. Yes, is something I want the bye week
because that gives you extra. It gives you extra time to get healthy, and it gives you time to scout and things like that. Like, it's something the Bills haven't had in our lifetimes ever. No. I don't even know if they had it back. Did they have it in the four in a row days?
I think during a few of them, yeah, because you would still, it would still have been the 1 and 2 seed.
Oh, that's
that,
right.
That's the
right.
biggest difference now is it's no longer just now it is just the 1 seed rather than 1 and 2. And that's been a huge difference, and it's allowed the Chiefs to kind of, for some of these years when they've been the 1 seed, to go on a run.
It's almost like a monopoly, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have control over this regardless of it. And that's why I was saying, even if the Bills don't get the 1 seed, a win on Sunday could open up the door for other teams to get that 1 seed, which I don't know if I want the Ravens to have that, or, I mean, at this point, the Texans and the Bengals are kind of way out of that conversation. So
realistically, and I still think Baltimore's a very good team, if the Bills win on Sunday, it's between those two teams. It's between the Chiefs and Bills for the 1 seed.
Okay.
Just because I don't think Baltimore can make up enough ground, because I don't think the Bills or Chiefs, especially if Buffalo does win on Sunday, I don't think they'll lose enough games for Baltimore to ultimately overtake either of them.
Yeah.
And even honestly, with Baltimore having the head-to-head loss.
Right. And honestly, too, we look at the Bills angle of this, obviously, because we're here. But if you look at the Kansas City angle of this, this is like the last hurdle for them, realistically.
To an undefeated season.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. If they get over the Bills, you basically just have to kind of sleepwalk for the rest of the season.
Put it in cruise control, stay healthy.
Yeah. Don't do anything stupid.
You're getting guys back, too. There's potential you're going to get Hollywood Brown back for the playoffs. Isaiah Pacheco coming back here, I think, in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So for them, it's also we're getting healthier with the whole thing. We can be undefeated going into the playoffs.
Because the end of the season for them is Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, should be all wins, Browns, Texans, Steelers, and then Broncos again. Like those 7 games after the Bills, except for the Steelers and maybe the Texans.
See, I'd say the Broncos, too.
You think the Broncos could do something?
Because that's going to be in Mile High, or not Mile High anymore, but it's going to be in Denver.
Yeah.
And they played them really well. I mean, they played them very, very well.
But I also...
That also could be for a playoff spot for Denver as well, so they might be coming in with some extra juice. You know what? Hearing that now, because I'm also starting to get more respect for the Steelers.
The Steelers are definitely in play.
Yeah. Buffalo's probably the hardest game you have left.
If the Bills win this game... And the Steelers beat the Chiefs, which, from what they've shown the past few weeks, I think they could actually do for once, which is kind of crazy to say. And that could also be for a playoff spot for the Steelers, too. Don't forget. I mean, that could be something for the AFC North, potentially, if Baltimore keeps fumbling. But I just, man, like, looking at the end of the schedule, the next 3 weeks for the Chiefs, aside from the Bills, those are... There should be 3 wins.
Yeah, the next 3 weeks are easy.
Right. It's Panthers, Raiders, Chargers.
Yeah, it's the end of the year that you're like, okay, there might be something there.
Right.
With Pittsburgh and Denver.
They can't really take their foot off the gas fully. They can kind of get to it until they get to the Texans, and then that's kind of like a tune-up game before you have to play the Steelers. Because the Texans, while they're not great as great as they expected to be, they're still a formidable opponent. I mean, sure, you don't have Stephon Diggs anymore, and Nico Collins is still kind of coming back, but the Texans are still a good team.
He'll be there by that time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like I said, that's kind of a tune-up game for the Chiefs, looking to the Steelers the week after that. Mm-hmm. So it's – oh, and that's the Christmas game.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah.
That's going to be –
okay, good.
That's going to be a great game. That's going to be big.
Hope so. But for me, though, so this is the excitement of this game. It's seeding. It's the potential of seeding.
Right. It's what it means for the future.
It has, for me, the game has lost the luster of, like, all of a sudden, I think, here, this is the Bills' year. Because they beat the Chiefs in the regular season. I think this is the year. Where a few years ago, it was the feeling mainly after 2020. They had lost to them twice that year. Once in the regular season and then blown out in the AFC Championship game. Going into 21, when they ultimately do beat them in the regular season, it was that feeling of, you can get them. Where... After 2020, it felt like they were this insurmountable demon that you just could not get past. And at the time, it really was that feeling. You beat them in 21, and then 13 seconds where, I mean, you absolutely can argue, and many, including myself, still do, argue that a bad coaching decision right at the end of the game cost you a win there. So that you would have gone 2-0 in that year. It made it all of a sudden... easier to dream that they could beat them. And now they've beaten them regularly in the regular season, including, you know, at home or what have you. Or you've gotten them at home. They no longer seem like this unstoppable force. except you seem to beat them at the wrong time. And that's more my thing is, look, I'm still going to be excited about this win. I'm still going to be happy if they win, and all of a sudden the one seed is a real possibility, especially with all the injuries they picked up. Namely, Amari Cooper, we've seen basically 1.5 games of him healthy, and then now he's picked up a wrist injury. Keon Coleman, also a wrist injury. You know, Matt Milano, we haven't seen at all this year. They've dealt with other injuries, such as Terrell Bernard has missed a couple of games this year. Ed Oliver's missed a couple of games. For them to be where they're at is incredibly impressive and indicative of how good this team's coaching is. But it will still be a win where, what, this game will end around 8 o'clock-ish on Sunday. By about 9, I'll be like, okay, but they've got to beat them in the playoffs. They've got to beat them in the likely next matchup. Now, they could miss them entirely in the playoffs. They get knocked out early, or, God forbid, the Bills lose early, and there's never that matchup. They haven't met every single year in the playoffs these last few years. They've lost to Cincinnati in the playoffs. So maybe they don't have to play them. But to be fair, for me, it's just this game has not what it was. I know for neutral fans, Josh has brought that up. For neutral fans, it's this feeling of, yeah, I mean, of course, this is the game of the year. This is the AFC playoffs right here. This is what everyone looks at. I mean, I think there's still some of that residue from the 2020 year where, those are actually the two best teams in the AFC. Cincinnati just happened to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I think there's still some of that left over. I think even Baltimore, too. Like, for Buffalo does have playoff successes. They lose to Kansas City or Cincinnati, but Allen is a wizard in the playoffs. I mean, they were just showing his numbers just against Kansas City in this game up to that point. He was 10 touchdowns and no picks. Like, he was perfect. Where Baltimore, and mainly Lamar Jackson, has had struggles in the playoffs. Namely against really good teams. Namely against Kansas City in last year's AFC Championship game. There is not that same oomph to those games as these two. I would argue Cincinnati and Kansas City hate each other more. But I do think from an NFL fan's perspective, these are the two teams you look at when you think of the AFC power structure.
If you're an NFC fan, right? Like, mm-hmm. Let's say you're a Lions fan, yeah, or a 49ers fan. Who do you want to win this game?
Buffalo. I want Kansas City gone.
Like this, not a playoff game, this game.
Yeah, I want Buffalo to start getting them. Kansas City to be gone. You want Kansas City to not have the one seed. You want them to have to go through the gauntlet of the NFL playoffs. You want them to have to go on the road. You want them to have to play three straight games. You want them gone. And I think that's because it's no disrespect to Buffalo. I think it is a certain point already now with Kansas City of, I would argue, most NFL fans don't want to play them. They want to move on from them. San Francisco, I think especially. San Francisco has lost twice in the Super Bowl to them. I think they more than anyone want them gone. And then for Detroit, you maybe could argue you could take on Buffalo or Kansas City again. I think there is somewhat of a feeling you could take them on just because they aren't necessarily a great team this year. They're not. They keep winning. They're not a great team this year. I'd argue for the Bills the same thing, though. I'd argue for both of them. I mean, back to Joe and Jeremy's conversation from this morning, I'd argue it's for both of them that neither of them are actually as good as their record indicates. Buffalo's had a number of slow starts to the point where it is being a weekly question to McDermott, in which McDermott then also goes, yeah, the slow start's got to stop. And then for the Chiefs, Mahomes, has he finally passed touchdowns to interceptions? I mean, maybe. And even then, I mean, they're not healthy. Their defense is getting it done, but it's a lot of one-score games. It's a lot of like, oh my God, how did that happen? Look at the blocked field goal from this weekend. Just is sort of an explanation for it.
12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Okay, so he has passed it. But even then, that's still a really poor year from him. They're not getting anything out of Xavier Worthy, I mean, at all. Outside of week one where he had 2 touchdowns, he's been almost a non-factor every single week. He does have, of course, the long touchdown against the Chargers, but he's been effectively a non-factor.
If Keon Coleman was playing this week, I'd be much more excited just because of the fact that you get to see the two of them go head-to-head.
Yeah, in terms of that, yeah.
That was the whole conversation for the last 3 months of the offseason,
mm-hmm.
right? Basically from the draft, actually. So, like, the whole offseason was just, how could you do this? What are you doing? Yep. And we knew that we would have been able to see it eventually, but then it gets here, and then it's, oh, they're both hurt. Well, Keon's hurt and out. Worthy might.
I looked it up. I didn't see any like injury. I know a lot of people said like after the deep ball that was missed, he was injured. I didn't see anything.
I'm not sure. I know that in the last game he was, not banged up, but like they were monitoring him essentially. So that's something that people have said is like, you know, something to watch for this week, but. I mean, I'm assuming he's going to be playing.
I assume he's going to be playing.
Which you're still going to see, oh, well, like, this is what the Bills could have had, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which, still, seeing what him and Keon Coleman have both done this year, I would still probably take Keon Coleman.
Well, yeah, because for me, everything I thought about Worthy has somewhat come true, at least early.
The size and things like that.
And then, honestly, a lot of it is just the way they're trying to use him. It's a lot of... Mahomes has to hit 10-90 balls. I mean, he's throwing it 65 yards down the field, and he's got to put it on a dime. That's difficult for any great quarterback, or it's difficult for any quarterback, including great quarterbacks. That's their biggest issue. They don't really know how to use him outside of the fact that he's fast.
I saw a tweet this morning, and it's from @PolishThunder87 on Twitter. Great, great
beautiful
handle, by
beautiful.
The way. Is Xavier Worthy just Rashid Shaheed? I think...
Yeah, you could argue that.
You could argue that, but it's probably, with both of them, too small of a sample size. Because, I mean, Shaheed has just kind of burst onto the scene, and Worthy is a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long Shaheed's been in the league. I don't know.
Not long.
I think it's been, like, what, 2 years, maybe? Three years? But it's an interesting conversation, because Shaheed, when he did burst onto the scene, he had speed. He was getting separation because of the speed, and he was just... Every once in a while, you'd see a bomb aired out to him, and it was a 90-10 ball, like you were just bringing up. And that's kind of what we've seen Worthy do so far, but it's too early to tell, I think, for Worthy of what he actually is. And with a guy like Shaheed, I mean, he's just kind of stuck in a bad offense.
You're right, though. I think it's we're not at a – well, Shaheed's also hurt. He's out for the year with the Saints.
Yeah, before that, he was kind of their whole offense, and then he gets hurt and they crumble.
They fell away.
Yeah.
But with Worthy, yeah, I think it's a fair argument that it's too early right now to totally, like, put a nail in the coffin for his career. Obviously, we're, what, 11 games in for him? We still got some time. Same with Keon Coleman. I think it's too early to have a victory lap with him either. I mean, he's still not an incredible separator by any means. Drop issues have also kind of been a thing for him this year. So, yeah, I think it's still early for both. But if we're just going who's happiest right now, it's absolutely Buffalo with Keon. Absolutely. Where the Chiefs are probably sitting there going, you know, how are we not getting anything out of Worthy? We have no healthy wide receivers. We lost Hollywood Brown. We lost Rashee Rice. And
they did add DeAndre Hopkins.
They added Hopkins, but even before that, you weren't getting anything out of Worthy. That was the frustrating part.
Right. But adding Hopkins did definitely supplement their offense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's
been a nice addition for them. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But that's not sustainable, obviously. That's just like an in-season rental type of guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas you were hoping that your young, fast rookie wide receiver was going to be doing maybe not exactly what DeAndre Hopkins does. But
I think there was hope that he was going to be like another version of Tyreek Hill for that.
Right. But Tyreek Hill, I mean, they're similar players, but they're also very different.
I think they're similar players how they play. Only in their fast. I think that's where they're similar, is their fast. Worthy came into this year 20 pounds lighter than Hill in his rookie year. They are not the same player. That's what makes Hill so dangerous. He is bigger than you would think, and then he's that fast. Worthy is just fast, and he looks like a guy that is only fast. He looks like John Ross. He's much smaller than you would like any sort of number one wide receiver to be.
What's funny is Worthy is an inch taller than Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's so...
Hill is short and stocky.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then is just a flamethrower.
Well, and also, too, you got to think, when he first came into the league, he really wasn't doing all that much in his first season.
More of a special teams guy and stuff like that.
His sophomore and, I guess if you want to call it junior seasons, he got over 1,000 yards both times. But that's also kind of when Patrick Mahomes is on the rise and there's all that going on. But looking at what Tyreek Hill went through his first year, I think is how we could look at Xavier Worthy in terms of adjusting to the NFL game with your size. And that's something that Worthy, I think, is still going through. So honestly, I think you're going to have to wait 2 or 3 years to really see what Xavier Worthy can be if he can make that adjustment like Tyreek Hill did.
It's just frustrating if you are the Chiefs, because where Hill was, what, a fifth, sixth round pick, Worthy's a first round pick, and you're sort of hoping, not hoping, you kind of even needed him to hit the ground running. We'll see where this goes. I'm excited for that matchup for the Bills, though. I know there's been a lot of talk on the safeties. I think the safeties have been, for the most part, fine this year. Not great, but we're used to great safety play, and I think that's going to be a big difference now. But I'm excited to see how they handle him because he has had opportunities to be open. Mahomes has just missed those throws. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll get to your tweets as well when we come back. But really, the question of the day is, has this regular season matchup with the Chiefs lost its luster for you? Or is it still that game of the year contender? We'll also get a look at the Sabres. They lost yesterday in not heartbreaking fashion, but definitely frustrating fashion, 7-5 to Montreal. We'll get a look in with them as Paul Hamilton will join the show at 11 o'clock. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to take it one week at a time here. We'll see how this week goes. And, you know, really where we're at is, you know, it's been a while since he's played football here, and he's done a phenomenal job along with our trainers of getting back to now where he can get back out there and really just take it one day and one week at a time. And those guys are going to reassess towards the end of the week and see where he's at and then what the next week may hold for him.
Here's Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about Matt Milano. The Bills have opened up his 21-day practice window. We'll get more on that when Sal Capaccio joins the show tomorrow. Very excited for that. I have positive feelings, that he could play in the San Francisco game with the Bills playing Kansas City this week. We already know he's out for this game. Bye week next week. I have a good feeling about San Francisco, but we'll see where Sal sits on that again when he joins the show tomorrow. Let's get connected to our fan zone, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Kind of the question of the day, has the Bills-Chiefs regular season matchup lost its luster, or is it still the game of the year contender for you? I know for me personally, and me and Josh were just talking about that in the last segment, it sort of has. It's becoming this, you're just waiting to get this game over with to meet them in the playoffs, and that's what it's become. It's you're waiting for the Bills even to just beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Pepe kind of says the same thing a little bit, though, different. It's still important in regards of seeding. However, I don't think I feel any different when it comes to a possible game in the playoffs, no matter if they win big or lose big in that regular season game. Yep, I don't, and that's a big thing, too. Even if they lose this weekend, it won't move me nearly as much as maybe some other losses would. Not even saying, like, you know, like the Baltimore loss. I think a lot of us took away maybe way too many takeaways from that game or what have you. Or a really, you know, crappy loss. Jacksonville, the Urban Meyer year, where you're just kind of left jaw on the floor going, what just happened? With this Chiefs game, it'll be like, okay, you know, pick yourself up, get healthy. We'll meet them again in the playoffs. There won't be this definitive feeling of, yeah, they can't get past them. At least for me, there won't be this definitive feeling of they can't get past them. Likewise, if they win, it won't be they've got them. I've moved past that feeling because they've done it before. They've beaten them before. And ultimately, they've missed in the biggest moments, whether it be 13 seconds. Last year, the Bass miss didn't really play into it all that much. They had to do a lot to get back in that game. It's much more like the digs drop and what have you that ultimately kind of sealed it for me. HC tweets in, it is entertaining, but it is just another game. The only one that matters is in the playoffs. Win or lose in the regular season, use as a learning tool for how to play better in the playoffs. Nothing but a Super Bowl matters. And I think that is somewhat of the curse of being a good team who has not gotten over the hump. I'm feeling it this way too this year. They're 8-2. It's their best start since what, like the 90s?
And 93.
Yet, 93. And yet I'm sitting here going, yeah, but. Yeah, but. And I didn't do that for a lot of like their first years. You know, 2020, just every win was just euphoric. And it was a drug that I just couldn't get off of. And a lot of that was just because, you live through the drought for so long. This is the first time I'm seeing a team that, like, by week four or five, I just expected them to win. And that was a foreign feeling to me. Now it's not. Now even them playing, you know, their C game against Indianapolis, it wasn't surprising when they won. I didn't have this jubilation when they won. It was like, oh, all right, good. On to the next. On to the next. You know, it's like the West Wing. Miss Lanningham, what's next? That's what it is for me now. It's maybe not healthy because I know Bulldogs talked about this a lot too, mainly with the Stabers, but the Bills have been dragged into that as well over these last few years of you want to enjoy the regular seasons. You don't want to all of a sudden look back and go, oh, man, I didn't really sit and enjoy it. I was constantly looking forward to the playoffs. I personally haven't been able to do that, though. I have now become when's January? When's February? I'll enjoy the first few weeks when the season gets started, but then like every injury also mounts up of just don't be season ending. Don't be an injury that is going to change the dynamic of how the playoffs are going to go. Matt Milano, for me, the best news was not that he was going to just play it all this year. It was more like hey, he'll be ready before the playoffs start so that he's ready to go by the playoffs, all things go well. Same with the Keon Coleman or Amari Cooper injury. You know, a few years ago, I'd have been freaking out that just they couldn't play in a game or two in a row. Now I'm sitting there going, no, get them healthy. Get them healthy, and then we'll worry about everything afterwards. This team can win without them. It may not look pretty. It may look awful. But, we'll figure that out when we get there. Joshua has a little bit different take. Nope, I just want to crush the Chiefs and take away their perfect season. I think that's fair. I think that is definitely fair. Of just I want to be a pain in the you-know-what to them anytime I can be. I think that's a very fair feeling, especially with the perfect season. I will tell you, though, it's a lot like the 2020 Steelers, and I am now comfortably comparing the Chiefs to that team. I do think the Steelers are on a different level, though, of bad when they were undefeated. The Chiefs are not there. But for me, that was frustrating when Washington had beaten the Steelers just before the Bills had played them. And it was like I wanted to be the team that took that away from them. I wanted to be the team. The Bills ultimately still beat them, and it was sort of like a definitive, all right, yeah, this team is not as good as we all maybe thought. But I wanted to be the team that would ultimately do that. Johnny tweets in, I care more about being healthy for the postseason. That's kind of where I'm at a little bit too than winning this game. We need to beat them when it counts most. And so, yeah, I know the Amari Cooper thing has kind of gotten weird too, and McDermott hasn't really helped by not – giving not necessarily just giving away a ton of details, but seemingly every time he talks about Amari Cooper, it is a little weird. And you know, the pain tolerance thing, you never know. He's in a cast, so I feel like it's a little bit more than pain tolerance. Like, he's not catching footballs. I feel like it's more than just pain tolerance. But yeah, for me, I've seen what this offense can look like now when all those guys are healthy. So for me, it's just get those guys healthy. And that includes now Kincaid on that list. And included Shakir a number of weeks ago of, I just want to get to a point they're healthy moving forward so that in the playoffs, because that's been a big thing, a massive thing for the Bills the last few years is the playoff injuries or the injuries they've just accumulated over the year, whether it be Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard are both out against the Chiefs, whether it be all the way back in 2020 where Cole Beasley's basically playing on a broken leg and Stephon Diggs, I think, also had to have surgery later that offseason as well for an injury he had obtained. They've dealt with so many injuries for so many playoff runs, they just run out of guys. Now, last year, coaching decision, I know me and Sneaky Joe agree on this as well, I would much rather had Dorian Williams play than A.J. Klein at linebacker. I also, though, can kind of get to this point, I don't know how much it would have mattered at the time. Dorian, I think, was great, is a great athlete, but I don't think he was going to be able to truly stop Kelsey or stop what the Chiefs were able to do. But we'll see. We will see now this year, I think, in terms of what they're going to be able to do. They don't have Matt Milano. Again, Terrell Bernard's healthy. They're getting healthier at some key positions. They're not at others. And that's, yeah, for me, it's I guess maybe also tough to get up for this game too, is just knowing you're wounded. Where in years past, you maybe haven't been in the regular season. You have been, though, in the playoffs. And for me, that is maybe the biggest thing. And it's also why I do look, though, at the one seed. And that's the one thing that really is getting me up for this game is the battle for the one seed. Because if you get that, the idea that of having a bye week, another week where these guys can just rest, you know, recover, what have you, or another week where they maybe weren't going to be able to play in the wild card game, but they can in this game, or there's no opportunity for them to get hurt in the wild card game. Terrell Bernard last year, you know, there's no opportunity for that. Instead, it's just, you know, it's a, I don't know how they've necessarily practiced that week, but I'd assume in a nice week of practice into the divisional round. That's where I'm at with them. But I totally agree, though, on Josh's point. I can totally understand it. Just wanting to crush them and take away that perfect season. But as Josh pointed out in the first segment, too, looking at their schedule, especially the way they're playing, Pittsburgh and then at Denver might open up room for that perfect season to get kiboshed later, but it would be nice for that to be on the Bills' resume. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Kathy on the line. Kathy, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing very well.
So I don't think the Chiefs have the same urgency this year because, I mean, we already have the East, that's for sure. Getting the one seed is a pretty big reach, so it really doesn't matter hugely if we win. But and I don't think the Chiefs are as good as they've been in the past years. But what I really want is I just want to pummel them. I just want to kick the snot out of them. You know, like kind of like the first Miami game where it's just one touchdown after the other. And I just think that would feel so good.
Kathy, I think you're on something there with that, too. And thanks for the call. That might be also another win that would maybe move me to just like have just the you-know-what grin on my face for a few hours is you just embarrass them. That Mahomes throws like three picks. You return one for a touchdown. They can't stop the run game or you know, big plays are happening. And you're just like, yeah. Like this one's going to sting for them for a while. It's something, I mean, I've still got the game from last year on the TV. I just really enjoyed like how mad they were last year. That barely cared about us winning outside of like, ooh, the playoff hopes are still alive, but like they were still 7-6 at the time. The biggest thing for me was, man, look how upset Mahomes is. He's so angry. He's so upset. I enjoyed that. Andy Reid, the same thing. And kind of watching him step in it a little bit, that was fun. And that could be something too of like just a win here. Maybe not as necessarily anything like that, but a win where ultimately they're just not competitive. That all of a sudden, all of these one-score games and these dashes and of you know, stealing victory from the jaws of defeat, what have you, it finally comes back to roost for them, and they just get blown out. That I would enjoy. But I'll tell you, I still get back to probably that same feeling of, but they've got to beat them in the playoffs because they're going to the playoffs. They're undefeated up to this point. It would take a historic collapse in which the likes we've basically never seen for that to happen. And Kathy, you brought up a good point too, and maybe this is actually playing into my feelings as well, is just how uncompetitive the NFC or the AFC East is. I think there might be something too of just there's not even a division battle that I'm watching where it's like, no, you need to beat the Chiefs just to stay alive, to keep pace with a Jets or a Miami. Like last year, that played into it. Yeah, I think the thing I most enjoyed was afterwards and how upset the Chiefs were. But again, like I said, them being 7-6 and still alive in the playoffs, that was huge. That was massive. And then you start to see the fall of the Dolphins. But maybe that is playing into it of just the AFC East is just a non-factor. At least this year. I will tell you, I am watching the Patriots with growing interest every single week, mainly just through the play of Drake May. He scares me. I think a lot of us who listened to me during the draft know how I felt about Drake May and how I felt about the Patriots getting him. I was not thrilled about that by any means because I do like him as a prospect a lot. But they're a few years away. It's not going to be, you know, next year or even this year. It's not going to be the two final regular season games. And maybe it is playing into it where now it really has just become looking towards January. I know you're going to be one of the top four seeds. Which one are you going to be? I know we're going to get another AFC East title. Now I just want to know who we're hosting for round one for the wild card, if not the division. I don't think it's totally out of reach, though, Kathy. I think if you beat Kansas City here and looking at the late schedule for them, for the Chiefs, I mean, they maybe could pick up another loss or two where all of a sudden now that tiebreaker plays into it. Likely that happens? No, probably not. But I think it's still a possibility. Bo tweets in, will and should be a good game. I just want to see Buffalo beat them in the playoffs. I've seen Buffalo beat them in the regular season. Short, sweet, and to the point. I think it's right. At least for me, I think it's right. It's where I'm at. I've seen them do this. I've seen them win in Arrowhead. I've seen them blow them out in Arrowhead. The rain delay game from a few years ago. I've seen them just blow them out. Look like definitively the better team. But every year in the playoffs, I mean, you know, Kelsey, maybe it's the perfect example there. Kelsey all year just looks like a shell of himself. Doesn't look good at all. And then the playoffs happen and he pops off. And you just have to watch and go, great, of course it's against us. Of course it's right now. Where the rest of the year, he couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, he's back to his old self. He's sort of getting there this year too. Where, you know, to start the year, there was this feeling, maybe he's sort of falling off. Here we go. You know, this is father time getting him. He's sort of picked it up again this year. Just want to get his game logs for this year to kind of go through that. But because they've been dealing with a lot of injuries, these last three games, 12 targets, 10 catches, 90 yards for a touchdown against Vegas. 16 targets, 14 catches, 100 yards against Tampa. And then 12 targets, 8 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown on Sunday against Denver. He's also had some other games in there against the Chargers, 9 targets, 7 catches, 89 yards. New Orleans, 10 targets, 9 catches, 70 yards. I mean, he's somewhat back, and it's frustrating. Yeah, I'm, you know, glass half full kind of guy, you could probably sit there and go, well, you know, maybe not. Maybe he's, you know, using up everything now because they need him, and then come the playoffs, you know, the wear and tear drags him down. But you look last year in the playoffs too. And even the three games leading up to it, he was inactive week 17 in their win against the Chargers. But those three games leading up to it, 7 targets, 5 catches, 28 yards, 7 targets, 5 catches, 44 yards, 4 targets, 3 catches, 16 yards. And then game against Miami, 10 targets, 7 catches, 71 yards. Against the Bills, 6 targets, 5 catches, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. Baltimore, he's perfection, 11 for 11, 116 and a touchdown. And then in the Super Bowl, 10 targets, 9 for 93. It was just like, oh, come on. Like another thing that just happens, and you're like, great, great. But maybe they're having to use him too much here because they're not getting anything out of Worthy. Rashi Rice is obviously out for the season. Hollywood Brown may miss the entire season, but that's another thing I've been thinking about for the playoffs is they're going to get Hollywood Brown and Isaiah Pacheco back here relatively soon. Hollywood Brown, they're hoping for the playoffs. We'll see if that even happens. And then Pacheco, I think within the next 2 or 3 weeks, they'll end up having him back. But there's a lot to this game that I think is only really playing out in the future over the next few weeks. You know, if the Bills lose this week, it's a foregone conclusion. The Chiefs will get the one seed. The Bills, though, will likely have one of the other four seeds. And how the AFC North is going and the AFC South in general, likely the two, even with losses to Houston and Baltimore. And I will still argue till I'm blue in the face, I want another shot at either of those teams. Both teams healthy, I want another shot. Because I think the Bills have found their passing attack. They just are getting hurt just as they found it. And then with Houston, I just don't think that team's good at all. The Bills had no wide receivers. Allen goes 9 for 30, and it took a late-game decision for Houston to get that win. I think if the Bills have Cooper, even just Cooper and Shakir, I think that they win that game pretty handedly. 803-0550 is the number to call. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Paul Hamilton, though, will join the show as the Sabres lost yesterday to Montreal 7-5, ending a 3-game win streak. But perhaps maybe the biggest news, something we won't really get until later this afternoon either, the health of Tage Thompson and Matias Samuelsson. We'll get his thoughts on yesterday's game and also the previous few games as well. It's been a little bit since we've talked with Paul. We'll do that at 11 o'clock. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X-Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Going to get a little hockey in here in the next few minutes as Paul Hamilton will join the show. The Sabres lost yesterday 7-5 to Montreal. Goaltending very much optional in that game for both teams. Both teams ultimately benched their starters as well, and the goals still kept coming. Sabres, though, won't be in action again until Thursday. That's going to be a radio-only game, though, right here in WGR. You'll only be able to watch it on TV with ESPN+. They'll be hosting the 7-8 St. Louis Blues. Real quick, though, some college basketball I want to get into. We've got some fun matchups tonight coming up as well in the top 25. Kansas and Michigan State coming up at 6:30. And then I believe at 9:30 is going to be Kentucky and Duke. Duke with Cooper Flagg, kind of the Duke villain, and he's going to fill out that role, I think, very nicely. They should be a very, very good team. And then Duke post John Calipari, or Kentucky post John Calipari, always going to be interesting to watch. But last night, I was catching a little bit of UB versus Notre Dame. UB winning as, I think, a 23.5-point underdog. And the only reason I do want to give them their flowers, and mainly their head coach, George Halkovich. I was talking a little bit with some fans yesterday and some reporters for UB. Just look, it's early. And they also did lose to Damon in a preseason, you know, game.
And almost to Fredonia.
And almost
Let's go.
Lost to Fredonia. But up to this point, watching their young players develop, and the fact that this team did win 4 games. I'm not saying this team is all of a sudden going to win 25 games and go on this little run and be exciting, and we're back to what we were in right before 2020, like, you know, the Nate Oates era. But really what they needed to show this year was any sort of improvement. And to watch some of these young players, they didn't just recruit like a bunch of seniors who are now going to be like okay in MAC basketball. I think they've recruited really, really nice freshmen and sophomores who are coming in and playing really, really well. Ben Michaels, I think out of Canada, was somebody I've been really impressed by. He's looked very, very good. Ryan Sabel, I believe I'm saying his name correctly. He's a sophomore. Up to this point through 3 games, he's averaging 19 points per game and shooting 43% from three, and he's a sophomore. I mean, those could be key additions for them. The women's team is much more ahead of them where they're at. They are going to be competitive in the MAC this year. But for UB to play close with Notre Dame, 86-77, and it was a much closer game. That's the ending of close college basketball games where a team just gets to make free throws. They were up at half and gave them all they could. I didn't get to watch a lot of game. I saw some fans upset with the officials. I know, surprise, surprise. But as a college basketball junkie, I'd love for the local teams to be good. I know there's an NIL deal that Adrian Wojnarowski just announced for St. Bonaventure as well, which should be good for them. And they've looked really good up to this point. Very, very exciting time, hopefully, in local college basketball. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, Paul Hamilton joins the show to give us more on the Sabres. We hope to have more of an update on Tage Thompson, Matias Samuelson later this afternoon. But we'll get more on the last few games for the Sabres and moving forward as Paul will join the show next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.